Welcome to day three of Daily Acts, a 28-day journey through the 28 chapters of the New Testament book of Acts. I'm Pastor Randy Green, and I'll be your guide for today's teaching. I hope that you've been enjoying our Daily Acts series and that you are being encouraged to follow the Lord in a bold and a powerful way. So we've seen in Acts chapter 1 that, first of all, that Jesus ascends into heaven and the apostles just stood there with their mouths wide open and gaping like, what in the world? And so an angel says, hey, listen, why are you standing right there? Why are you looking up in the heavens? This same Jesus will come back as you saw him. He will return in the same manner, coming on a cloud. And then in chapter 2, we see the beginning of the church. We see the day of Pentecost and a great demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people that day heard a message that was preached by Peter. And as he preached and taught, 3,000 people responded by being baptized that day. And it continues on that they continued to meet together and they had favor with the people. And so in chapter 3 begins with the healing of a beggar at the gate called Beautiful, and then a scorching sermon by Peter again. So in this chapter, there are two main points. First of all, the power of the healing in the name of Jesus. And secondly, the power of the convincing and convicting words of the Apostle Peter. So in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, Peter and John were two of the 12 apostles that Jesus had called to follow him. And they had spent a lot of time together even before they were called to be apostles. They were partners together as fishermen. And before they dropped their nets, they followed Jesus. And so Peter was outspoken and preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus told him that he would give him the keys to the kingdom of God. And when he preached that first gospel sermon, he gave him the keys to open up the kingdom there. John, on the other hand, was initially known as one of the sons of thunder. And I mean, he must have had a really short fuse, because one time some people wouldn't believe in Jesus and his works. And John wanted to call down fire from heaven. He just wanted to nuke them. But later on, he became the apostle known as the apostle of love. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the epistles 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And then, of course, the book of Revelation from Jesus. Peter and John says they were going to the temple at the time of prayer. Now, this was a Jewish tradition rather than a law that was stated in the scriptures. The Jewish tradition was to pray 3 times a day, as you see from the example in Daniel. You remember, Daniel said this in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, 3 times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. David, who is called a man after God's own heart, wrote in Psalms 119 and verse 164, saying, 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. So the church continued the practices in prayer that they had learned before. The Apostle Paul later would encourage all Christians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 to just pray always, pray continually. So as we saw in Acts 2:46, the Christians continued meeting in the temple courts on a daily basis. I mean, there was no church building. There was no place for them to come together. And so they continued to meet in the temple courts, also as well in houses and places. Now, verse 2, it says, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Now, Luke, the author of Acts, being a doctor, gives us some information that he was crippled from birth. So this man had never walked and was carried everywhere. In Acts chapter 4, we read that he had been lame for 40 years. So he was at this gate called Beautiful every day to beg, so people going in and out of the temple would be familiar with him. Most scholars think that the gate called Beautiful was a gate called the Nicanor Gate. This gate led from the court of Gentiles into the women's court. This was a huge gate, and it was beautiful. It was made of Corinthian bronze and was adorned with silver. It was like 75 feet high and 60 feet wide. And so this is a huge gate, a beautiful gate, and there he is laying there. And so when he saw Peter, verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Listen, he was just asking for money. Give me some money. I need some food. Give me some money. That's all I was expecting. But just give me the money so I can have food for the day. But he got more than he expected that day, because in verse 4 it says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. Now listen, most of the time a beggar will hold his cup and he'll hold his, he won't look you in the eye, he'll just hold the cup there and hope that somebody will give him something. But this is what Peter said. He said, hey, look at us. Look at us. And so verse 5, it says, so the man gave him his full attention, expecting to get something from them. You know, when you see a beggar and look into their eyes, I don't know if you've ever done this very much, but when you see them, you look into their eyes, what you see is you see hurting people. You see people that have lost hope. Most of the time, you see someone who's dirty and smelly. Most have entered into a place that in life that they don't want to be. They want to be free from it. Most of them that I've talked to, they feel trapped and just can't get out of it. And I don't know about you, but most of us are uncomfortable when we're talking to beggars and confronted with them. You know, for either we don't know what to do or what to say. If I know I've been guilty of judging them before, thinking, well, you're just probably a druggie, or you're someone who doesn't want to work and things like that. I just confess to you. You know, but this guy, okay, this guy was crippled from birth. And for over 40 years, he had been lame. He had been laid at the Gate Beautiful, and everybody around Jerusalem that went to the temple, they would have known who he was. And so there was no doubt that this guy needed a miracle. Then Peter said to him, I love this, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. And so in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And when he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. So Peter and John had been given this special gift of healing and this power from God to heal in the name of Jesus. Notice, this healing was instantaneous. It didn't take 3 weeks. It didn't take 2 days. It didn't take 3 minutes. I mean, instantly he was healed. He was fully healed, okay? He was jumping around and praising God. This was a miracle that was plain to see by everybody that saw this. It was the power of God displayed through a powerful miracle of God. You know, personally, I have prayed for people to get well, and I prayed for them to be well, and some of them got well, and some of them didn't. Some of them died. I prayed for people to get healed, and some later on would get well, but some, like I said, never got well. One day in particular for me, I was praying and I was asking God to give me the gift of healing. You can ask my wife, Sandra. I've always wanted and desired some of those gifts. And so I was praying, because I have a friend that has been paralyzed for almost 40 years. And so I had been praying for him. I'd been over at his house. And so I went over to his house that day after I had prayed. I'd actually been reading from this scripture right here. And I went over to his house. I said, hey, listen, brother. I said, I want you to know I love you and I praise God for you. I said, I want to do something today that I've never done before. He said, what's that, Randy? I said, I want to ask you to get up out of that bed in the name of Jesus Christ and to be healed immediately right now. What do you say? He said, I'm all for it. And so we prayed. I grabbed a hold to his hand to pull him up, and he couldn't get up. And he tried. I'm telling you what, this man is a man of faith. He tried. He couldn't do it. And I realized that this miracle was not going to happen that day for us. He did not get up out of that bed. And so I have to tell you, I've prayed and prayed for the gift of healing, but I don't have it. I don't have the gift of healing. If you're sick, don't come to me and think that you'll instantly be healed. If you're sick, you can come to me and I will pray for you. I'll lay hands on you and pray for you. But I do not have this gift of healing like that I know that the apostles had it. And I know that those that they laid their hands on had it, because we see it in the book of Acts right here. You know, I've gone to churches and crusades where supposedly people were getting healed or people were supposed to be healers. But the people in the back where the wheelchairs are, or the people that were blind, they walked out of there with someone helping them to get out, and they walked out of there wheeled out by the wheelchairs. I mean, in their wheelchairs. The blind were still blind. The lame were still lame. And every time I've seen that, my heart hurt for them. You know, you see, the purpose of the miracles were signs so that people would believe in Jesus. In John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, it says this. It says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But, he says, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And so as we study through this book of Acts, you'll see that all through the book of Acts, the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the miracles that were done in the early church. But for you and me today, we can still say the same thing to people. Listen, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I will give you. What I have to give sometimes, I have a little bit of money sometimes that I may give someone, but mainly I have the love of Jesus to give to them. Silver and gold I don't have, but I will give you what I have. I have the good news of the gospel of God's grace. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. When we do that, when you share the good news of God's gospel, when you share the good news of Jesus Christ, people are healed spiritually, okay? It's better than being healed physically. Give the hope of Jesus to people. Look them in the eye and tell them, Jesus loves you. God loves you. He ain't mad at you. He just wants you to come to the house. And so he cares for you. He was willing to give his all for you. You know, you remember the paralyzed friend that I was telling you about, that I prayed over and I laid hands on and commanded him to get up out of that bed in the name of Jesus Christ. When he wasn't able to do that, we both just cried. We both held on. I held on to him. He can't move. And I just held on to him. We cried. And I just told him, I said, brother, I'm so sorry. It didn't happen. But this is what he told me. He said, listen, thank you, Randy, for caring enough to try. Thank you enough to come. Thank you enough to have enough faith to give it a shot. He said, and I want you to understand something. One of these days, I know for sure that I'm going to be completely healed. One of these days, when Jesus Christ comes back, he blows that trumpet. He said, I'm going to have a new body. But he told me, he said, listen, I want to tell you the truth, Randy. The main thing is not physical healing. Jesus did the most powerful miracle in me when he saved me, a wretched sinner. Man, it broke my heart. But I also understood from him that God had done a powerful thing on the inside of him. Whether or not he ever stood up and walked again, or whether he ever was able to hug a grandchild or hug his wife or anything like that, God had done a powerful thing. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I will give you. And today, brothers and sisters, as witnesses of Jesus Christ, what we have, we have the testimony and the witness of Jesus Christ. I believe every word in this Word of God right here. I believe everything in it. And when you read it and you see it, all of these accounts are true. And so to clarify one question that you may have, you may ask, well, Randy, don't you believe that God still heals people today? And the answer to that question is yes, 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 I do. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't pray for him, you know? But I believe that God heals people through prayer today, miraculously. I just don't believe that we have the same gift of healing that the apostles had, some of those that the apostles laid their hands on experienced. So please understand, yes, I believe God can do a miracle anytime He wants to. I just don't know anybody that has the gift that the way that the apostles had, where they could just lay hands on and bam, people get up. So in verse 11, it says, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and they came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Now, if I saw a miracle like this, I'd be astonished too. I'd be running to the place. What in the world has happened here? That's what the miracles was for, to give credibility to the gospel being preached and to produce faith. And so they were there at Solomon's Colonnade. Now, that was a porch out there at the temple. And it was a huge porch along the inner side of the wall, enclosing the outer court with rows that was like 27 feet high of stone columns there. And so when Peter saw this, he said to them, verse 12, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? And just think about it. Why in the world would it surprise you that you could heal somebody in the name of Jesus, because Jesus Christ Himself rose from the dead? Why do you stare at us if by our own power or godliness we'd made this man walk? He said, men of Israel, listen. You know, that's the way that he started out his sermon in Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, listen to this. And I can just imagine John saying, oh boy, here we go again. It's going to be a long one. It's going to be a tough one. But this is what he said. Why are you surprised? Listen, it's not us. It's not our power. It's God's power. It's the power of God. It's the power of the name of Jesus. And wherever you're sitting right now, just say the name of Jesus. Just say, Jesus, because there is power in that name. They took no credit for working this miracle. They gave all the glory of God to God. And listen, He wants them to make sure that they know what God He's talking about right here. And this is what He says in verse 13. He says, listen, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus. Listen, Peter had already preached in Acts chapter 2 about how they had killed the Messiah and that God had raised Him from the dead. So they should not be surprised that by the name of Jesus that a man could walk. Listen, verse 13, he says, you handed Him over to be killed. You handed Him over to be killed. If you can just imagine being in that little audience of people there, if you can imagine standing right there in that temple court, if you can imagine being there with that crowd and all these people gathered around, he looks at him and he says, you disown the holy and righteous one. You ask that a murderer be released to you. And everybody's thinking, I can sure think, yeah, they're saying, oh my goodness, yeah, Barabbas, we asked for Barabbas. You asked for Barabbas to be released. Verse 15 says, you kill the author of life, but God raised Him from the dead. We're witnesses of this. You, he says, you emphatically killed Jesus, the author of life. So he convicts them big time that they're guilty of putting Jesus to death. Verse 16, he says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. Listen, it's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him that has given His complete healing to him, as you can see. And so it's just like all through the book of Acts. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the name of Jesus. It's all about who Jesus is, because Jesus is the author of life. It's by faith in the name of Jesus that he says. It's by the power of Jesus' name that he is healed. And I know you might feel a little weird, but again, just say Jesus. Say Jesus, because there is power in the name of Jesus. Through faith in his name, when God's people really do good in this world, they do it through faith in his name. The temptation is always to do things trusting in something or someone else, you know, like to trust in good intentions. I mean, all of us have good intentions. To trust in our talents and our gifts. All of us have different talents and different gifts. To trust in material resources. Yeah, let me just pull out my wallet. We'll fix this thing. To trust in our reputation and prior successes. To trust in hard work or smart work. Listen, instead, we must always trust in and do good through faith in his name, the name of Jesus. So in verse 17, he says this, now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as did your leaders. So he sort of gives them a little out right here. And he says, you acted in ignorance. He lightens up just a little bit. When you were ignorant of the fact that he was who he was, who he said he was. It's kind of like, you know, Jesus in that song, I am who I said I am, right? I mean, Jesus is who he really said he was. He said, you were ignorant of who Jesus was. We've all been there. We've just done dumb stuff because we just didn't know. But in their case, they killed the Son of God. Verse 18, he says, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Listen, Jesus knew when he came down to this earth that he would suffer. All you have to do is read Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering servant passage that talks about Jesus. It points to Jesus. And when you read that and then you read the account of what happened with Jesus, you understand that and you know that he was the Messiah to come, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So then he says in verse 19, repent. Then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Listen, repentance is required for us to follow Jesus. You cannot be a disciple of Christ and still walk in your old ways. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. It's kind of like that little song we used to say, you know, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And so we repent, he says, so that times of refreshing will come. And in our own lives, you know how good it feels when we've messed up or when we've done something and we go and we say, oh, I've really blown it. I'm so sorry. I'm going to change. And then life change begins to happen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, like I said, if you are in Christ, you're a brand new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So in verse 20, he says, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. You see, the second coming of Christ is what he's referring to here. And he has a time that God has appointed. I don't know what day it is. Even Jesus said, I don't know the day or the time exactly. But here's the thing, is that God has a time. He has a time that is appointed that he is going to come back. Verse 21, he says, he must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Now, this verse right here is why we should study Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy gives you clues about when the return of the Lord shall happen. Now, my wife Sandra and I, we love to study the scriptures together, and we love to study about prophecy, and we get so excited when we see things happening or that has happened in the world, getting the return of Jesus Christ to come sooner and sooner and sooner. And so always be ready. You know, no matter when, but it's a certainty that he's coming back again. Because there in Acts chapter 1, you remember that angel said, hey, quit looking up in the sky. This same Jesus who went away, he's coming on a cloud. He'll come again. Verse 22 says, for Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from his people. Let me ask you something. Do you listen to everything that Jesus tells you? I mean, do you listen to his words? Do you allow them to come into your soul? Do you allow Jesus, his words, to penetrate our old hearts, our old hardened hearts? He says, listen, you need to listen to him. It's amazing that we don't just listen to all that he tells us. You know, the basic teaching is Jesus is Lord. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. If we don't listen to him, he says, you'll be cut off. I will be cut off if we do not listen to him. Verse 24 says this, and indeed all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these things. You see, he's telling these are the days when prophecies are being fulfilled. So look and see and don't mess with what Jesus is telling you. Verse 25, he says, and you are the heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. And when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked way. So let's just make a wise choice here. To turn from your wicked ways, whatever sin that entangles you, turn from your wickedness and follow Jesus. I hope that you've enjoyed this chapter right here. There's some good stuff coming later in chapter 4, so don't miss it. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. Help us to follow your leading in all that we do. Help us to repent of sin that needs to be repented of. Please help us, Lord, to live for you every day. Help us be a witness to our friends and our neighbors. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we all pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for Daily Acts. And don't forget to subscribe to Journey's YouTube channel and sign up for notifications for future messages. If what you heard today was helpful or encouraging, please share it with others. Join us again tomorrow for the next leg of the Daily Acts journey.